Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Gem of the Secret Podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday, or Coco Gem Aki Holiday. I'm funny. All right, so today I'm wearing my cowboy hat. I'm also wearing some nice jean outfit, and some cowboy boots that I bought on Amazon. I'm feeling my cowboy fantasy. So in the last week, you know, Beyonce released Cowboy Con. It is an amazing song, and a lot of this episode is going to be about that, but it's going to be about some of the discourse that's happening online right now. One of the recent posts I was reading online, which I just absolutely love and adore, was talking about, when Cowboy Carter has Stevie Wonder on harmonica, Linda Martell speaking, Willie Nelson smoking a blunt, Dolly Parton on backing vocals, McCartney on guitar, Nile Rodgers on electric, Gary Clark Jr. on electric, Joe Bastististe on organ and sitar, Rhiannon Giddens on banjo and fiddle, Robert Randolph on pedal steel guitar, Jay-Z on claps, Pharrell on production, and Beyonce on nails and vocals. And sorry, I butchered most of those names. It does kind of kill me just to think about Jay-Z clapping in the studio, and that's how he's on the album, and that just makes me laugh. But the thing is, somebody was kind of talking about, there's an article saying, did Beyonce make enough room? She's putting visibility on country and its roots, and we all know that POC people have its roots in a lot of things that involve music, right? And so one thing that really bothered me about some of the articles I was reading was kind of like saying, you know, she why would she have white people on the album at all if it's like about black country roots? And the thing is, like Beyonce said, it's not a country album, it's a Beyonce album. And I love that she said that and she framed it in that way, because it allowed her to play around with the music as much as she wanted to. Like, because there's disco, there's hip hop, there's country, there's pop, there's R&B, there's soul, like everything is on this album, and it's so good. And I know that a lot of people don't understand the historical significance of Cowboy Carter and what it means, but that's actually another thing I was actually watching on TikTok, is somebody had said the cultural significance of this album goes far beyond the actual vocal quality of it. Like being able to say that this person did Cowboy Carter was isn't changing the definition of music once again, because Beyonce's always mover and shaker, is kind of ridiculous if you don't feel that way, because this album is definitely changing the market. We all know that they haven't given Beyonce what I believe is album of the year, is what the one award that she's missing, and they just keep never giving it to her. Even for Renaissance, they didn't give it to her for that either, and because Taylor Swift, I think, has won it twice from what I understand. And I know people, there are different genres of music, so we're not necessarily comparing them, but we want to compare, we do want to compare just really in the game, and they're big in the game. And I think that it does have a lot of racist roots. Like Beyonce is a black woman, she's married to a black man, and her children are black. And, you know, and she's been married to the same person, she's been with the same person since she was 16 or 17 or however she was, she's got with Jay-Z. You know, she has three beautiful children. Yes, of course, she's cheated, and of course, they probably had a scandal in their marriage and whatever, but they're still married to this day. They have grandparents that are still alive. Like, parents that are still alive. I mean, they just have this family dynamic that no matter how good you can be or how well you look to the public eye, you'll still have scrutiny just because of the color of your skin. Like, it reminds me of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, actually, and their two kids. And, like, one of the big scandals was, like, one of the daughters was, like, and, like, their family unit is still together. Michelle is very unapologetically black in her own right as well. And it just kills me that people just can't seem to get past the fact that Beyonce is a black woman who's an amazing entertainer. And, yeah, she's a billionaire. And, you know, eat the rich all day long. Of course you should. But when they create, like, when they create, use their platforms is what I consider this. Using their platforms, sure, for dollars and cents. But at the same time, to be able to expose country's racist history, because I never knew until this album came out that country music had black roots. I just didn't know that. And it took this album for me to actually even understand this. And like, so, you know, I think I talked about on the podcast about Leslie Riddle, you know, and then the Carter family took a lot of, because they're like known as like one of the first families of country, they took a lot of their musical influences from Leslie Riddle. And Leslie Riddle never like went on to really get that, you know, success and fame from country music in that way. And that's so sad. And it does always seem super weird to me. And I say this a lot on the podcast that somebody has to be the first of something, right? It's always so weird that even today in 2024, this is the first black woman to X, or the first black man to X, or the first person of color to X. And it's just like, why are we still living in a time where we still have the first ofs? It's just so ridiculous that that's still a thing that comes up in daily conversations about the first of this or the first of that. It just kind of blows my mind. And as a so right now, I sit on a team in my day job where there is one person of color, and the rest are all straight white dudes, straight cisgender white dudes. And that's not necessarily for a lack of trying. I mean, I always just hire the best candidate. I just and also in IT, which really does suck, we don't tend to get a lot of women who apply for these roles. Just don't. I know that, you know, there's such an emphasis on women going into tech, but I work in Vancouver, Washington, and when I post my positions, I don't necessarily get a lot of women hitting me up. And that's a little disappointing, as I would like to see more diversity in the people that I'm getting. And I know that there is, you know, some of it's my fault. I could encourage my HR department to put up job postings in other areas that are like with more diverse candidate pools. Now, I do have a really fantastic team. I'm not disappointed by that in any capacity. But I also do think that there's some truth to the matter of how we get candidates in. And I know I've jumped over five different topics in this like small conversation alone, but let me go back to this. One thing about it is when you make room for other people, it just naturally starts to look a little bit more diverse. One of the things that was so amazing about Beyoncé and Cowboy Carter was that other black artists that were even on the record at the time, or other black country artists, people started listening to them as well. You've introduced an entire group of people into an entire group of people into this genre that maybe would have never listened to it before. And that is amazing. That is great. Like, why would you not want more people to enjoy the thing that you enjoy? Like, say you've been a country music fan since you were 1 year old, listening to it with your dad or grandpa, and now you have this entire group of people who are going to want recommendations about who else to listen to that have same vibes and similar sounds. And everybody keeps saying that something is not country. And it's so weird to me because a lot of popular country singers aren't necessarily country. They're just in the genre, which is true. Like, you didn't have to grow up in a black church to be a soul singer. Like, that's the other side of the equation. Like, just like even for rhythm and blues, you don't have to like live in Harlem. Like, that's not, and like honestly, and even to be a rap artist, you didn't have to grow up like traditionally in the ghetto being black and like part of a marginalized community to be able to be a rap artist. That's just silly. It's just silly that you think that you have to be from a certain place to a certain something to be able to be a part of the music industry. Now, like if your songs are about an experience that you don't have, that's something. I remember one of the articles I read recently was actually just so, wasn't as an article, it was a post that went viral that said, you know, I'm part of the Beehive and I've always loved Beyonce, but like this album is just not it for me. Like, I feel like she's playing dress up into the cowboy era and stuff like that. And I like look at the way she's dressed and da 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 da. And I was like, if you were any kind of Beyonce fan or even a Beehive member, you would have known that Beyonce has been wearing cowboy hats and dressing with frills since her Destiny Child days. Like, that's just how they dress. And also, if you watch Grown Woman, where it shows pictures of Michelle, sorry, Kelly Rowland and Beyonce as kids, and those kids grew up in the poor South, it looks like, because they grew up in Texas, Houston, Texas. And not saying you're from Texas just means you're country. It just also is just trying to be, there's some rhyme and rhythm to the reason. And I think it's kind of silly that people don't want to make room for other people to explore. And also the thing is to like, Break out of the mold. Dolly Parton gave a blessing to the Jolene version that Beyonce did. And Paul McCartney actually just released a statement today talking about Blackbird. And I think it was amazing to see. Like, it was so gorgeous and so amazing that this like happened in that capacity. And so actually I wanna guys what Paul McCartney actually said about the album. He said, "I am so happy with Beyonce's version of my song Blackbird. I think she does a magnificent version of it, and it reinforces the civil rights message that inspired me to write the song in the first place. I think Beyonce has done a fab version and would urge anyone who has not heard it yet to check it out. You're going to love it. I spoke to her on FaceTime and she thanked me for writing it and letting her do it. I told her the pleasure was all mine and I thought she had done a killer version of the song. When I saw the footage on the television in the early 60s of the black girls being turned away from school, I found it shocking and I can't believe that still in these days there are places where this kind of thing is happening right now. Anything my song and Beyonce's fabulous version can do to erase racial tension would be a great thing and makes me very proud." And I agree with that. My mom has pictures of her being like the only black girl in school. My mom was born in 1947, as I often say. And now I know I'm getting this always was a little bit when I was in my 20s doing activism. But now I'm in my mid-30s and or actually probably towards my later 30s. I'm 37 years old. My mom was born in 1947. That means she was in her 20s when Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, because people like to think that those things happened a very long time ago. And so there, the civil rights movement happening when my mom, was able to vote, honestly. And like that's really crazy to think about. It's crazy to think how much the world has changed in a very short amount of time, but racism is still very wildly out there and it's prevalent. I remember when Beyonce's Formation came out and I also felt that Beyonce wasn't making music for the general populace anymore. I thought that she was making music to speak to her people. And I feel a lot of the way about this album that has come out is that Beyonce made a country album for herself, still remembering to bring us as black people along with her in this journey. And I can't be more grateful for the music and the history that I've learned in such a short amount of time. And honestly, it's like F the naysayers because of it. Because the thing is, it's so culturally significant. She's been in the business for 4 decades with, I think, number one hits in every decade, and amazing albums in every decade, that I never wanted to stop doing music. This is life-changing in a lot of great ways. I know I'm gushing about Beyonce, but there's actually a rhyme and reason to this as well. But before I get there, listeners, how did you like the Beyonce album? Let me know in the comments.
Are you ready for a brunch experience like no other? Step into a world of glamour, laughter, and fabulousness at the Epitome Drag Brunch. Join us at Underbar, located at 1701 Half Broadway Street, Vancouver, Washington, 98663, for a spectacular event hosted by the one and only Coco Gem Holiday. Doors open at 11 o'clock a.m., but trust us, you'll want to arrive early to secure your spot for the most amazing drag brunch experience around. Picture this, the delectable brunch dishes, bottomless mimosas, and the electrifying performances by some of the fiercest drag queens in town. It's an extravaganza you won't want to miss. Epitome Drag Brunch takes place on the fourth Sunday of every month, so mark your calendars and get ready to slay. And here's the best part. Tickets are just $15 for pre-sale, but act fast because they go up to $20 at the door. Visit www.vancouverdragbrunch.com to secure your tickets today. We believe in inclusivity and community, which is why we offer 3 community tickets for those who want to join in the fun but might need a little extra help. Everyone deserves a chance to experience the magic of Epitome Drag Brunch. So gather your friends, unleash your inner diva, and join us for an unforgettable Sunday filled with glitter, glamour, and endless entertainment. See you at Epitome Drag Brunch. Epitome Drag Brunch, where every moment is a celebration of individuality and fabulousness.
It's a podcast.
Check it out.
Tune into what they tell you podcast.
Check it out.
We are back, listeners. So, another artist, you know, it's funny, I talk about these people like I actually know who they are. But so Lizzo had posted online about quitting music, but she's also obviously promote her clothing brand. And I've been thinking a lot about that. And I've been reading the comments beneath Lizzo's video, and I actually want to read some of them to you. I said on this podcast a few times before that disappointing and really hard to be entertainment because you have to technically have followers to ever be able to be famous, right? So what sucks about this is that you don't really want to care about other people's opinions, but their opinions have to matter, right? Because they're gonna make you famous. So she did a commercial for her clothing brand, and so even the so the first five comments on it. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you quit. Another one said, "I thought you quit. Why are you still here?" Said, "Stay gone." Somebody said, "Thought you just quit." Or she quit music. Still has a contract with this company that she. Else, I thought she quit. Wait, I thought you quit. Thought you quit. Girl, bye. Didn't you say I quit? Back within a day. Laugh out loud. I thought you quit. Why do you all hate her so much? What has she done to any of y'all personally? Liz's social media team needs to coordinate better with her. This is really awkward timing. I thought you said you was quitting. Laugh out loud right after you said I quit. Said I'm so excited, but I'm immensely suspicious of anything posted on April Fool's. And then finally a positive comment. Oh my God, these look amazing. It's giving me too much. Life and I'm obsessed. I thought you quit, girl. Which is kind of sad because a lot of people didn't realize, like, even if you know Lizzo at all, she was quitting music in that way because people are just really hateful. After she had her scandal with those people having all those allegations against her, and like the allegations didn't go anywhere. But the thing is, once a story is out there, once a narrative is out there, it is really, really hard to change. It's really, really hard to change a narrative when people. So over the last couple of weeks, right, I was talking about my story with Anonymous and Angelica DeVille. And the thing is, a story got put out there. And yes, even though Angelica publicly kind of rectified the situation and apologized as she needed to, as she thought she needed, there were less comments and views on that than there was on the original Bash post, right? You know, so because people want to believe what they want to believe. Black woman who was in the music business and killing the game for the longest time. Seemed like a good time girl. Her TikTok was always blowing up, being silly. She always listened to fans. She course corrected. She did what she needed to do. She does have a great PR team. But the reality is, like, she became friends with her background dancers, and some things happened that they didn't love or they thought the work environment was toxic. Literally, there's a video of somebody being like, "I love Lizzo. I would never do anything. I want to be on the next season." And that was one of the people who were in the primary complaint against her. And the thing is, I do think, and I do truly believe, that they wanted their 5 seconds of fame. I thought that they, like, what would happen with you taking down Lizzo in that way? Like, because it doesn't help you with fair, it doesn't help you with fair consequences or fair, don't get your fair share from doing that. Lizzo was employing bigger POC women stages. And it's not saying that they can't get other jobs, but Lizzo was making room for these types of people. And these are the people who turned on her. And it does suck that Black Girl Magic couldn't even survive people wanting a piece of the coin. Now, some people have been like, "Hey, there's still allegations, like they haven't gone to court yet. Like, Coco, what if it turns out to be true that Lizzo didn't?" Some of these things were not that bad. Like, just like talking to sternly to employees, talking about potentially, because they're all on TV. And saying like, "Hey, you know, you're not doing as well or whatever. Like, you need to probably consider your health and da 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 da." And then that turns into fat shaming for some reason, which is not the case for some of the things that I read. And then I know the banana, like Lizzo encouraging them to put a banana up their hoo-ha or whatever like that. Like, the other thing is, these people could have said no. And then I know people are like, "Well, you know, that's a lot of power. They're worried about losing their fame if they would have said no to Lizzo, so that's why some of them did it." And that's probably true. That's probably true. Sense of if that actually happened, they probably did feel fearful that they would lose. Some of the scandals that I see from men and the things that they've done to their employees and how they've treated them, and they have just gotten off scot-free, it's just boys will be boys, or that's the business, is crazy because the fact is, like, there was already an entire group of people that hated Lizzo big, black, and unapologetic about being big and black. And then those allegations came out, and so a lot of Lizzo's fans were also woke crowd people. Woke crowd people tend to shift in a heartbeat when they don't love something that they're seeing in front of them. Like, I love all of Lizzo's music. I've been a fan of her for a really long time. And it's not because I'm blinded by the fact that these allegations could be true. What I'm blinded by the fact is people changed aggressively fast. Like, when we're talking about Beyonce, like, Beyonce's been in the game for so long, and she had amassed a huge following. When the Elevator video came out, we all remember Solange Knowles, Beyonce, and Jay-Z, and a bodyguard went in an elevator. And Solange was, like, cursing at Jay-Z and, like, hitting him and stuff like that. And, like, the bodyguard was kind of keeping them back. And Beyonce didn't do anything. And then I remember when she was on stage with Nicki Minaj and she said, of course, sometimes or $1 billion in an elevator. And it's true. Like, we don't know what's happening behind closed doors. A lot of people haven't come out to say certain things about Beyonce's life. They do keep their life pretty private until Lemonade came out, right? And then Beyonce just opened the door and she let people into her a little bit more, but it made people love her more because the music was great, right? And the visuals were insane, and the way that Beyonce does music changes that game for people. But in this capacity, because I remember it was just literally last year when Lizzo went to the Beyonce concert, and during one of the songs that Beyonce sings where she's just talking about like, I think it's Vogue or whatever, where she's like saying black artists, and she knew that Lizzo was in the audience, so she said Lizzo's name. Imagine going from that moment in life, having Beyonce say your name at the concert, including with all of these other amazing human beings and individuals, literally a year later, to where you've been bullied so aggressively because of, let's even say it was true, a mistake that you made, to where people wanted a perfect role model, as they always do, but cancel culture came out of the woodwork and said that this person is no longer allowed to do the thing that they do. I will say there's one mistake that Lizzo made, if I was on her PR team, that I wouldn't have let slide. Lizzo did a TikTok video basically saying, you know, it was I'm sensitive now. So you guys got to be nicer to me moving forward because I can't really take it anymore. And most of the comments underneath that, fans and non-fans, were like, no, no, you're in the spotlight. We're allowed to make opinions about you. They are allowed to make opinions about you. One thing that I know that Beyonce does, she doesn't read the comments. Beyonce has like 13 PR teams. It gets to her. Right. And so Lizzo needed just a better PR team. Like, she is a bigger black woman who is unapologetic, but who also has mental health issues as well. Protect herself. It is sad because all of her music is so positive and uplifting and sexually empowering in a lot of different ways. And it sucks that she couldn't push through this. The thing is, I don't think Lizzo's done with music forever or whatever. And it sucks when you make an I quit post online because people just hate. But it's one of those things of where she has to do now is just get back into the booth. Like, get back into the booth, release an album that probably won't do as well, just like Gaga's Art Pop didn't do. But later, people fell in love with it because the music was so great. But yeah, she has to come out with a new sound and push her music. But I know what it feels like to try to do your art when people are pissing on it. I remember trying to do drag right after violent things happened with my ex-husband. I was going to like I've said on this podcast before, I was going to a suicide awareness function where I had to put on my smiles, put on the cocoa face, and go to it. And it hurt. It hurt trying to pretend that, you know, those things don't matter when they actually do matter in the moment. Well, the reason I'm bringing all this up is just remember, in this household, we do not cancel black women. That is not a thing that we do, and I've always said that. But more to the point, you have to be gracious with people just in general. It doesn't matter how rich or famous they are. You have to provide people grace. It's really disgusting to me when I see people online being so vicious and awful celebrities because they think that they're so far removed. But the reality is they're not that far removed if they're not on a certain level. Like, some of them don't have large PR teams to filter out the positive and negative comments. And so when you're on the internet just being awful to a person you never met, you think it won't affect them. Maybe you're the one comment that gets through. Maybe you're the one comment that does send them into the deep, dark depression. And it doesn't matter how many tools or tricks have in your toolbox, or your thousands or millions or even billions of dollars that you might have laying on your pillow. And even with, you say, like, eat the rich, if you're a billionaire, you're not a good person. Like, there's truth behind that phrase, but there's also truth behind the phrase. People are still people no matter how much money they have, right? So are we saying that Blue Ivy Beyonce's kid, her oldest kid, like, yeah, her parents are billionaires. Does that mean that she's automatically a terrible Obviously not. It doesn't mean that people are born immediately being terrible. And her twins, who I don't know, I think they're less than 5 years old. I can't remember how old they are. Like, are we saying that they don't deserve, not deserve have a good life just because their parents are billionaires? And some people be like, yeah, I don't think they should. I think that that's not cool. They should get away from that lifestyle. And that's great to feel that way, but these are not our lives. And to dictate how we want our celebrities to be is just really weird to me. Like, I really just think celebrities, for the art that they're giving me or the acting that they do, is good enough. I don't need all my celebrities to be perfect role models because I'm not a perfect role model. I'm in entertainment, and people literally, like, as I said on my last three podcast episodes, literally making a mistake can get you a post online and people canceling you in a heartbeat from a misrepresented conversation. And, like, yeah, this was a court document with allegations. The same thing. It's still being a representation that Lizzo couldn't fight back against because it was a court document. And I think that that really sucks because as humans, we need to do better. I even hate the phrase do better, but we really do need to do better. We can't constantly keep having people under this microscope to just be perfect, like literally Mother Teresa. And honestly, every time we say these people who didn't have social media back, like, I bet you anything that they probably wouldn't have done as well as they did. I always say on Martin Luther King Jr. Day that he wouldn't have been as successful today because, as most people know, like the second that TMZ caught wind of him being an adulterer, that'd be all over the magazine. That would have been everywhere. People were like, "Oh no, screw this guy. Da 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 da. He's not good enough. He would no. He can't talk for us. Da da da." Malcolm X was an angry man. Like, they would have done the same thing with him too. They would have just read him through. They would have read him for filth and all these other things. Like, they would have posted Martin Luther King's mugshot every time he got arrested, all over the front page, every single chance that he could get. You know, the stuff like that. And we just have to really remember to actually make a difference. We actually have to remember that people are imperfect. And if we can't remember that people are imperfect, got to remember, folks, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. You want your worst secrets blasted all over the internet. Matter if you're famous or not. If you don't want your asset all over the internet, why are you trying to be rich? That's it, everybody. Thank you. Bye.